this time, Dr. Weasel?
Good question, Avik. It looks like a turn-of-the-century British parlour. By the decor and taste of soot in the air, I'd estimate probably around 1905.
But you don't sound all that certain.
Appearances aren't everything, my good goose. Everything about this room apparently screams Edwardian mundanity, but the Weasley's scanners are telling a different story.
And where in time and space does the Weasleys think we are? 1906, perchance?
That's the thing, Avik. They don't think we're anywhere. Or indeed, any when. That odd bump you felt before we landed was a Weasley's falling into some sort of wild chronal vesicle. A bubble of null time. I was more than a tad surprised when the ship's engine switched into landing mode. Even more so when they said there was a breathable atmosphere.
I take it that a wild chronal vesicle isn't a commonplace happenstance.
No, not in the slightest. They're unstable fragments stemming from damage to the time vortex. They're usually caused by species experimenting with temporal travel without proper precautions or adherence to the laws of time.
Like the sort of thing you do every week, then?
Cheeky goose. Nothing like that. My people, the Time Weasels, fitted all manner of safeguards and countermeasures against generating chronal distress into the Weasley's core systems. It's why we can do what we do without ripping apart the space-time continuum because you trod on a butterfly or accidentally assassinated the wrong Archduke.
How many times do I have to apologize for that? I thought that chap in Vienna had tossed me a baseball, not a grenade. But unless I've totally misunderstood, Doctor, you're saying appearances are deceptive and we must be on our guard against surprise attack.
Hello, gentlemen. It's so lovely you could pop by. Can I offer you a spot of tea and a macaroon?
Time and space are his backyard, and all of creation his playground. Yet Dr. Weasel, an inadvertent travelling companion, and Big Goose are about to discover that like a prize-winning Spanish onion at a summer fete, the universe comprises more layers than they ever realised possible. In Dr. Weasel and the Apoeosis of Colin, Part 1!
Come along, gents. Sit. You don't stand on ceremony in this house.
You don't? Good. Me neither. Avik, what do you think you're doing?
Helping myself to a macaroon. It's been a devil's age since I last had one.
Remember where we are, or rather aren't, Goose. That might look like a macaroon, but who knows what it really is.
Tastes like a macaroon to me.
Dr. Weasel, please. I'm only trying to be hospitable. Now, drink your tea before it gets cold. It's my own special blend of Oolong and Ceylon.
Cake and decent tea. Oh, Doctor, we've died and gone to heaven.
Oh, thank you, Advik. I knew you'd appreciate it.
Thank you, Mr... I am so sorry. Where are my manners? Here we are drinking and dining off your finest bone china, and we've not even done you the courtesy of an introduction. What must you think of us?
It's perfectly fine, Advik. You seemed in more urgent need of a cuppa first. But for my part, please, call me Colin. Mr. Colin Smith, to be formal, but just Colin is fine.
A pleasure to meet you, Colin. And may I say, your generous hospitality is refreshing beyond measure. Now, we're called...
He already knows, Avik. He's been calling us by name for the past couple of minutes, unless you hadn't noticed.
Oh, you're right. How the ever did he manage that?
Appearances can be deceptive, Goose. Have you already forgotten? Mr. Smith here.
Please, Doctor, just Colin. Mr. Smith's my father.
Oh, sure, Colin here. Might look like a balding bank clerk in his mid-50s with an alarming twin case of alopecia and dandruff, but the way I figure it, he's more than he appears. I'm right, aren't I, Colin?
Well, it's six of one, and half a dozen of another, Dr. Weasel. Yes, I am not quite the man you see before you today, and yes, I am very much Colin Smith, Senior Clerk of the Lower Binfield Branch of Lloyd's.
Give over! There's not many Edwardian bank clerks floating around in a chronal vesicle with an ability to sustain a habitable environment replete with tea and cake, along with a rather convenient mind-reading ability.
Yes, well, You got me there, Doctor. Although I can't read minds per se, but I can pick up on the odd surface thought, like names and intent. I do want to make you feel at home, though, Doctor Radvick, as I fear you're going to be here a fair old while.
I knew this was too good to be true. Why can't we ever have anything nice?
Well, it has been a thrill and a half. It really has, Colin. But if you'll excuse us, Advik and I have places to be. Come along, Goose.
You don't have to tell me twice, Doctor.
Sorry, Dr. Hazel. I thought you'd have worked it out by now. You can pilot a time weasel capsule into a null-time vesicle, easy as you like.
But flying out again is next to impossible.
You mean we're stuck here? With Colin? Well, the Weezies could travel anywhere in the universe, Dr. Weasel.
It can, but this isn't anywhere in the universe. It's a pocket of nothingness which shouldn't exist. There's a reason the Time Weasels make it a policy to eliminate any bubble universes they come across that are bloody hazard to shipping.
But this bubble does exist. Doesn't mean your people missed it, Doctor.
Well, the thing is, gents, this is no ordinary null-time bubble. By its very nature, no one can detect it. And the only way in is to find it accidentally. But the chances against that happening in the universe's lifetime are so close to zero, I'm never worried about it.
That's pretty advanced stuff. I'm not even sure the Time Weasels could make a cloaked pocket universe. Colin, and I mean this with every possible courtesy, but what the freaking hell are you?
Oh, very well, Doctor. I'll level with you. Colin's not exactly my real name.
Colour me not shocked.
Actually, I doubt either of you could even conceive of my name, let alone pronounce it. You see, it's actually a 17-dimensional mathematical abstraction, resonating at a frequency of around 2 billion hertz. Rather elegant, actually. Hence me going by Colin. It's probably a lot easier for everybody.
You're a higher-dimensional being, aren't you?
Well, yes, or rather, I was. Back in the day, and we're talking galactic epochs ago here, I was worshipped on 1,000 planets as the devourer of souls. I was quite the little tinker back then. You ephemerals can die in so many interesting ways.
No, I really wish I'd left that cake.
But there comes a time when even a dark god of eternal horror thinks to itself, is this all I am? Guess it was sort of a mid-existence crisis. Oh, would have been if my existence had a beginning or an end. Anyway, so it occurred to me, maybe if I extruded myself down into four-dimensional space, I might be able to find renewed purpose by living life as a mortal. For maybe a few millennia.
I sense there's a butt coming here, Colin, and I'm not referring to Advik's cake-plumped rump.
Too right you are, Dr. Weasel. As I squeeze my consciousness out of my multi-angled framework, one of my fellow malevolent entities spotted its main chance and, well, to cut a long story short, rather than walking among you, I found myself stuffed inside this pocket dimension, with just enough of my power left to shape it into a living space.
And you picked the early 20th century of Earth? Any reason why?
Are you kidding? The run-up to that first industrialised war of yours? Oh, the tension was always scrumptious. One of my favourite periods of history of any world.
Well, Colin, I've heard enough. Doctor, we might not be able to fly the Weezies away, but I'm damned well not going to sit and listen to those sickos salivate over wartime carnage.
Advik, where do you think you're going?
Out there! There's a whole world outside his window, and I'm not spending another moment cooped up with this nutter! Come on! Ugh! Nothing! There's nothing out there!
I did rather suspect that might have been the case. Colin here might once have been a multidimensional screaming horror, but all he's got left is power enough to maintain the tangible illusion of a small terrace house in Kent.
Right you are again, Dr. Weasel. Now why don't I pop back into the kitchen and make us all a fresh pot of tea? I bet you could do with another cuppa after that shock, eh, Advik?
Dr. Weasel, there must be something you can do. Some trick of Time Weasel hyperscience to get it out of this pickle.
I wish there were, Ravvik, but force is even more powerful than the Time Weasels built this place. Effectively, it's a prison for Colin. Against those kinds of higher beings, my technology is about as much use as a table tennis bat against a tornado.
That's it then. We're trapped here for the rest of our lives with Colin, the former devourer of souls. Honestly, my mother always said I'd end up like this.
Your mother was curiously prescient, old chum.
Doctor, if we're in an imperceptible pocket dimension where nothing outside this single house exists, who is knocking at the door?
I don't know, but I think I might want to become friends with them pretty quickly.
Who is knocking on the door of Colin's pocket universe? Will Ravvik ever trust anyone who offers him tea and cake again? And is there anything Dr. Weasel can do to get the travelling twosome out of this predicament? Find out the answer in Dr. Weasel and the Apotheosis of Colin, Part 2!
Dr. Weasel is a Weasel Silly Audio Enterprise production featuring Randolph Weasling as Dr. Weasel, Cooked and Goose as Ravvik Goose, and John Gavicol as Colin.